Welcome, this is Mike Adams here with Abundance Church, revealing why the present-day Zionist claim to own the land under which the Palestinians have been living for, you know, centuries is a complete and total fraud. It's a legal fraud, it's a biblical fraud, and it is an historical fraud as well. And here's why. First of all, let's start with the claim that the modern-day Zionists make. They say that God promised them that land. Therefore, and this is the way they describe it, therefore, they have the right to take it, no matter who's there, no matter how long they've lived there. They have the right, they say, to murder people, to remove them from the land, and to take their homes, to take their farms, their orchards, to destroy their families, to forcibly relocate them, to make their lives a living hell, to try to force them out of the area. And this is exactly what the Zionists have been doing since 1948. The Nakba, as it's called, when they showed up in Palestine and said, well, this is all ours now. We're just going to take it and murder anybody who gets in our way. And year after year, they kept taking more and more land and murdering more and more Palestinians until they had essentially shoved the Palestinians into two regions, the Gaza area, as it's known, Gaza Strip, which is a giant prison camp, in essence, fully controlled by Israel, the water, the electricity, the food in and out, the medicine, the bandwidth, everything controlled by Israel. It's a prison camp. And then also, of course, the West Bank, where Israel continues to expand its so-called settlements there by force, by shooting and killing people, forcing them off their land. So this is what modern-day Zionism claims, is that, again, they say, God promised us this land, therefore we have the right to kill whoever's on it and to take the land from them. So let's look at that claim. Is this a claim that is recognized by any court in the world? The answer is no. There is no court, not even a UN court, not an American court, not a European court, no court that would say that just because you claim God gave you a piece of land that you have the right to go kill people who are on it. For example, if you march over to your neighbor's house and burn it down and murder all the women and children and men in the house and you roast them to a crispy critter status and then you bulldoze their home and then you steal the land and build your own home on it and then you claim, well, God told me that I could do this. Guess what's going to happen to you? You will be arrested for murder, and you will not end up with the land because there is no court in the world that would recognize such an absurd claim. If everybody in the world could just say, well, I have a religious book, and in this book, we claim that God told us we can kill all these people and take their land. If that were accepted by a court, what would our world look like? Well, it would be a Zionist battlefield. The whole world would be in an endless fight. And it would become might makes right. And whoever just commits the most violent crimes wins the most land and resources, which is the way Israel works today, by the way. That's the way Zionists operate. But just to be clear, that claim is not recognizable nor enforceable by any court in the world. Secondly, what's the basis of this claim? Well, according to the Zionists, in the book of Genesis, now remember, Jews study the first five books of the Old Testament, but they do not recognize the existence of Christ or the New Testament or the resurrection of Christ. In fact, it was the Jewish leaders that demanded the murder of Christ. This is elucidated in the books of Mark and John. I've actually taught sermons on this. It's abundantly clear. The Bible leaves no doubt. It says the Jewish leaders demanded Christ be murdered, and they appealed to the Roman court run by a local Roman judge named Pilate, said you have to murder Christ. That was the Jewish leaders that said that. Okay, so let there be no doubt that modern day Judaism does not recognize Christ as a savior or even as a figure at all. Christ doesn't exist to them, nor do Christ's teachings. So we're talking about the Old Testament, old school, you know, the wrath and vengeance version of God, which was rooted in a lot of violence and mass killing. And that's what modern Israel is still working off of. Just kill everybody that's in your way. That's Old Testament. So they say that in Genesis, that God promised the land to Abraham. It's in chapter 12 of Genesis. Here it is. Now the Lord had said to, well, Abraham, I'm just correcting the name here, said, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And skipping ahead to verse 7, then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him, and he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and so on and so forth. Now, so this is God promising to Abraham this land, and this is what is cited, one of the main things that's cited by modern day Zionists in Israel to say, see, God promised the land to Abraham. Well, there's a problem with this. There are several problems with this. Problem number one, historians date this to be about 4,000 years ago. I originally thought it was maybe 5,000 years, but I looked it up and it says that it's roughly almost 4,000 years ago. So we'll call it, you know, we'll call it like 2000 BC roughly. There's a lot of uncertainty about the exact year, but that's pretty close. So 4,000 years ago, God spoke to Abraham in the Old Testament. And then after waiting something like 3,930 years or something, then Israel shows up in Palestine and says, this is ours now, because God made us a promise 3,930 years ago. I think your claim has expired just over the fact that you didn't put up no trespassing signs. The Jewish descendants, they did not take care of the land. They weren't growing food on the land. They weren't building homes on the land. They weren't even there for almost four millennia. And then to show up and say, well, now it's ours. This claim, again, would not be recognized by any court in the world. It's an absurd claim, especially given the fact that there are multiple religious books in the world. And given that governments are not allowed, at least Western governments, are not allowed to endorse one specific religion, all religions have to be given the same weight in America, for example. What if there's another book, like a book from the Sikhs, that says, no, all of the Middle East is ours? Or maybe there's a book from the Buddhists that says, well, all of Asia is ours. And then there's a book from the Hindus that says, no, the Middle East is ours. And there are similar claims in other religious books. Or then a book comes out of the Amazon and turns out that the Amazonian Indians had ancient stone carvings that said the whole world was theirs. Or the Mesoamericans, who became Native Americans, they find like a tablet that was written in some ancient language found on a stone, says, no, guess what? Jordan is ours. You know, this is absurd. If you run around the world saying that, well, all these different books claim that this land belongs to these groups of people from 4,000 years ago, then you have anarchy. You have chaos. You have no property rights recognized. You have war, which is exactly what Israel has thrust us into. So that claim is absurd. Even squatting laws that are recognized in every Western country, squatting laws say that if you don't take care of a piece of land for even sometimes as short as 1 year or 2 years or five or maybe 10 years, you lose it. If somebody else comes to that piece of land, let's say you own a ranch in, let's just say, Texas, where I am. If you own a ranch in Texas and you just abandon it, and then other people start taking care of it, start farming it, start building infrastructure, you know, you would call them squatters, but after a period of time, the state recognizes ownership as the to belong to the squatter because they're the ones who have been stewarding the land over a period of many, many years. There are squatters' laws all across the United States. Now, I know those laws have been abused by people claiming homes, just like showing up, taking somebody's home over the weekend and then saying, oh, you can't kick us out. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about long-term, multi-year stewardship of a piece of land. The point is, the Israelites or modern-day Jews, they abandoned that land for nearly 4,000 years. They did not take care of it. They did not farm it. They didn't build infrastructure. They weren't living there, except for a few sort of scattered people here and there. So their claim is null and void. By any legal measure, their claim is null and void. They abandoned it. Who was taking care of it? The Palestinians were. Sort of the indigenous people of the Middle East, the Native Americans of the Middle East, you might say. They were farming it. They had their families there. They had their religious practices there. They have their language. They built infrastructure generation after generation after generation for literally thousands of years. You don't just nullify that because you show up with a book, even if it's the Old Testament, and say, well, this book told me that God can command us to kill all of you and steal all your land. Sorry, that doesn't fly. And any person who believes that is an idiot, including Christian pastors who are pushing this. You're morons, absolute morons. That's not what Christ taught. Just have a claim from 4,000 years ago, show up and start slaughtering and murdering women and children and take their land. That's the opposite of what Christ taught. It's an anti-Christ philosophy to push that. But a lot of Christian pastors are pushing that, and they're Satanists. They're straight up Satanists. Now, but there's another even bigger reason why this claim to own Palestine is also fraudulent. And this is the ultimate kicker of it all right here. So God promised the land to the descendants of Abraham. So who are the descendants of Abraham? The Palestinians. The Palestinians and many other groups in that region, the Jordanians and in many cases, the Syrians and some Egyptians and so on, and some Iraqi citizens and some Kuwaiti citizens and some Turks and so on. Those are the offspring of Abraham. And indeed, they did inherit the land that God promised. Who are the Jews that came to Palestine in 1948? They were Europeans. They are not descendants of Abraham, for the most part. They are Europeans, mostly white Europeans. So Netanyahu changed his name to sound Jewish, and he's an imposter. He's an imposter who pretends to be Jewish, moved to Israel, and then, like a Satanist, began to manipulate the Israeli people into thinking that he was their leader. But he's pushing anti-Christ philosophies the entire time. He's an imposter. So the people living in Israel today are mostly Europeans, not descendants of Abraham. Thus, the original promise of God, if you think that promise is still valid 4,000 years later, that promise has been fulfilled by the people of Palestine living there. Therefore, the European Jews still have no claim to the property because they're not largely descendants of Abraham. And then finally, there's even one more reason why the claim of modern-day Zionists is null and void. Think about it. God promised this land to the descendants of Abraham as part of a covenant. And if you haven't read the books of the Old Testament, it's worth doing so. I know they're long, really long, and sometimes the family tree stuff gets crazy boring. But if you go through and if you read Leviticus, Exodus, and Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and of course Genesis, if you read the first five books of the Old Testament, one thing becomes very clear. The ancient Israelites, the Jews of their time, they broke their covenant with God. They broke it so many times that God would do things like unleash giant fireballs to kill hundreds of them alive while they were burning incense outside his tabernacle. Seriously. There's one scene as part of the journey where God is trying his best to lead the evil, wicked Israelites to the promised land. And all they did was complain and whine. There's one point where he's very angry with them. And Moses says, well, what shall we do, God? And God says, well, get like 250 of them to burn incense in front of the tabernacle. And so Moses goes out and recruits 250 of these, you know, just wicked, evil people who are the ancient Israelites, gets them to burn incense in front of the tabernacle, and God unleashes a giant wall of fire and burns them all alive. And then he opens up the earth and swallows more people alive and closes the earth over them. And Moses is like, whoa, I guess he's mad. Yeah, I wonder why he's mad. Because the Israelites, they repeatedly broke the covenant with God. See, the story of the Old Testament is essentially God trying to nurture this one civilization, the ancient Israelites, the ancient Hebrews, trying to nurture them into some kind of civilized society. And so he gives them all these rules, kosher food rules and circumcision, and tells them, like, stop having anal sex with each other, no more sodomy, you know, don't worship all these false idols, and only worship me, I'm the one true God. And then, you know, he gave Moses the Ten Commandments, like, stop killing each other, stop fornicating everywhere, stop being wicked and evil, stop being driven by greed and selfishness and covetousness, and so on. He gives these rules over and over again. And then in the New Testament, of course, the same, or many of the same philosophies are repeated, but in a different context. Nevertheless, the Old Testament was God trying to take these evil, wicked people, the ancient Israelites, and make them civilized, to try to make them into good people. And it failed. It failed. They repeatedly turned against God. They broke the covenant over and over and over again. And in those first five books, what does God say? He says, this is the covenant. This is the agreement from God to the ancient Israelites. He says, look, and obviously I'm paraphrasing. He says, if you will follow my laws, I will bless you with incredible abundance. You'll have the fountains of living waters. You'll have all the grapevines and the figs and the pomegranates. You'll have all this land. It will all be yours. You will have happiness. You will have joy. You will have families. And you will grow to so many numbers that we can't even count them. And you will be blessed. But God says, if you turn against me, I will take it all away. I will take away everything from you. I will take away your spices, your cinnamon, he says. He specifically says, I'm going to take away your cinnamon. Because it was a very valuable spice in that day. It says, I'm going to take away everything from you. The water, the land, the fruits, the orchards, everything. And of course, there are many instances in the Old Testament where God unleashes a vengeance upon, like, Sodom and Gomorrah, or the Pharaoh of Egypt to try to set his people free, the Israelites, to try to bring them to the promised land. But over and over again, the ancient Israelites, they turn against God. In that, they broke the covenant. They broke it so many times, you can't even keep track. They broke the covenant, which means that God's promise, if there was ever a promise to give them this land, that promise was nullified by the Israelites themselves. They broke the covenant with God. And that is why God tried something different. In the New Testament, God decided to send a portion of his own soul to animate a human person known as Jesus of Nazareth, to actually create the Son of God as Jesus, to come to earth and to live among the people, first person view, right? And to teach something different than the Old Testament God of wrath and vengeance and violence and let's burn everybody alive. Instead, Christ taught love, acceptance, forgiveness, you know, coexistence, humility. These are the teachings of Christ that the Jewish tradition today still does not recognize. And the leaders of Israel absolutely do not recognize the existence of Christ or the teachings of Christ, which makes it doubly bizarre that Christian churches in America today will support Netanyahu, who is an antichrist demonic war criminal who won't even recognize the existence of Christ as a savior. What on earth are Christian churches doing advocating for that? They've become antichrist churches. But Christ was sent here to try something different. It's God saying, you know, okay, for roughly 2 to 3,000 years, I tried vengeance and wrath and burning people alive with fireballs and having flaming mountains falling out of the sky to destroy their wicked cities. I tried that. Didn't work. The ancient Israelites, still evil, wicked people. So let's try something new. Let's try sending Christ to act in love and forgiveness. Christianity was supposed to be based on that. Love and forgiveness and coexistence and compassion. Doesn't mean that you can't defend your home, obviously, if an invader comes to your home, breaks through your door, as you know Hamas did on October 7th to Israel. Yes, Israel on that day or days after had the right to kill those invaders. Absolutely. Just like you have the right to defend yourself against a home invasion. But if somebody invades your home and you kill them in self-defense, you don't then have the right to go march over to their neighborhood and burn down the whole neighborhood and kill all the women and children who are related to that person. That's what Israel is doing. They've gone way beyond self-defense. Now they're in vengeance mode and they are carrying out genocide. And they're carrying it out clearly because they intend to eradicate the Palestinian people and then to steal their land because they claim that God gave them the right to do so. So this is an evil, wicked agenda being pushed by the Zionists. And the fact that they're citing God as justification makes it purely satanic and evil. And the fact that Christian churches are endorsing this and supporting it reveals that those so-called Christian churches are antichrist hubs for Satan because they refuse to teach the word of Christ and what his disciples taught, which was peace. It was find a way to get along with other human beings. And importantly, what Christ and his, well, apostles slash disciples, what they taught was that Christianity and the principles of Christianity, love and forgiveness, apply to everybody, the Gentiles, not just the Jews, but to everybody, including in Colossians, well, I call it Colossians, it even included the barbarians. Paul's letter to Colossae said that the teachings of Christ, we have to reach out to even the barbarians and to uplift them with the word of Christ and the teachings of Christ, the teachings of love and forgiveness and acceptance and morality and all of these things that even modern day Judaism will not teach because it's rooted in a history of vengeance and violence, the wrath of God, and utterly decimating your so-called enemies, a genocide, ethnic cleansing. That's what Israel is focused on today. That's what drives Israel's policies today. And that is so anti-Christian. It is anti-Christ. It's anti-God. But that's what passes for, I don't know, diplomacy today. It's completely insane. So to summarize, there are numerous reasons why this modern-day Zionist claim to the land of Palestine is absurd. Number one, no court would recognize it anywhere in the world just because your book says God gave you that land. Doesn't count. Secondly, it's been 4,000 years, for God's sake. You didn't put a no trespassing sign on the land. You didn't take care of the land. You did nothing. You showed up 4,000 years later, nearly, and then you claim it's yours? Well, what about the people who've been living there for generations and centuries? What about those people? Oh, you're just going to kill them? Sorry, doesn't fly. Thirdly, the modern day Israelites are Europeans, not descendants of Abraham for the most part. The real Abrahamic people are the Palestinians, which means that if God promised it to the descendants of Abraham, then Palestinians living there fulfills God's promise, doesn't it? And then finally, the last point, as I just mentioned, is that the ancient Israelites were so wicked, they broke the covenant with God again and again. God essentially gave up on them. He couldn't turn them into honorable people. They were so wicked, so vile, so greedy, so selfish. They were so just evil and satanic that God had to try something different. Hence, Christ and the New Testament, which Judaism refuses to recognize. So even God gave up on these people being so evil. God gave up on Netanyahu long ago. Netanyahu is run by Satan. The leaders of Israel today are Luciferians. It's a satanic death cult. They have nothing to do with God. They will invoke the name of God as a cover story for their evil because, of course, Satan and his serpents will try to deceive you into thinking that they don't exist or that they represent God. They are false prophets. Jesus and his disciples warned about false prophets. And the Christian churches in America that are pushing all this nonsense, they are also antichrist institutions. They are satanic. They answer to Lucifer. And yet they pretend to be temples of Christ. They are not. Christ would disavow them if he were to return today. He would disavow them for their violence, for their murder, for their slaughter, for their disobedience to his teachings. No question about it. It's all written in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, which I have been teaching a lot lately. I've recorded now, I think it's 36 sermons from the Bible, both books, Old and New Testament, well, collections of books. And what I'm telling you here is written in black and white. It's incredibly clear. There is no doubt. The only way that people are fooled is that they don't read Scripture. If you read it, you can't help but see what I'm explaining here. But a lot of so-called Christian pastors are, of course, demons. They are satanic, like the Pope of the Vatican, right? He is a satanic entity who has infested the body of the Pope and has been trying to run the Catholic Church as a Satan-worshipping entity that, you know, traffics children and sodomizes children all over the world and is now pushing for the migrant invasion of Western Europe, which is going to result in the mass burning of Christian churches all across Europe. Another church just burned up in France the other day. Western Europe's going to be completely overrun by Islam. And the Pope, oh, that makes him very happy because he is, of course, a satanic antichrist entity. He's got nothing to do with Christ. The Pope is a demon. And if Christ were here now, he would say so. In fact, Christ would cast out the demons from the Pope and all the criminals at the Vatican. Now, I'm not saying that all Catholics are Satanists, not at all. I'm talking about at the top. Same thing with Israel. The demons are the people at the top. In fact, most Jews around the world oppose what Israel's doing today. And there's an effort underway right now to arrest, well, to get Netanyahu out of office and arrest him and charge him for the crimes he has committed because he's so evil. So understand, Jewish people around the world, they oppose what Israel is doing in Palestine. And Catholic people around the world, they oppose what this woke Pope has become. It's the leaders of these, well, countries or institutions that have been infested with demons and have turned against Christ and turned against God because Satan is making his move right now. Satan is moving to take over this world. And he's doing it by taking over the institution of the church, as well as government and so-called science and medicine and education and pop culture and everything else. But have no illusions. Satan has taken over a lot of the mainstream churches. That's why you have churches that have just recently fallen. One of them, one of the pastors, had to admit to fondling a 12-year-old. It was years ago, granted, but that is not a wise behavior for anyone associated with the church. The church is falling because it's been infested by demons. That's why. And if you read the New Testament, Christ and Paul and his letters, you know, to the Corinthians and so on, and Timothy's letters, over and over again reminded people, stop becoming evil. Remember that you only have wealth and blessings because of the grace of God. And only by following the teachings of Christ will you continue to be blessed. And if you reject Christ in your life, then you will be overtaken by evil. Your nations will be overtaken by evil. And then you will end up in famine and war and pestilence and economic collapse. And guess what? Guess where we are right now in the world? France, Germany, UK, much of Western Europe. What do they have? Famine is growing. Economic collapse is happening. Massive deindustrialization. 40% of the industry has collapsed in Germany. Wars are happening in Ukraine and Russia. Wars in the Middle East. Famine is coming. Pestilence is coming. Why? Because the world has turned against God and the churches have largely turned against Christ. That's why I think it's so important that the new remnant, people like myself and others, to just step forward into this space to be authentic with the teaching of Christ, to literally teach what the Bible says and not to promote war and promote big governments and promote the corruption of Rome and all of that, but to teach what Christ taught, to teach what Paul taught, to read his letters, study them, and then to walk in that path. And by the way, you're going to see a lot of new churches rise up. I know what's happening behind the scenes. Okay. I'm not the only one launching a church. There is a new wave of real Christians who are launching churches, teaching the word of Christ, and doing it without compromise. And these are not mega churches. These are not going to be wealthy churches. These are not churches that you will ever see in luxury and private jets and giant church buildings and halls. These are humble, local, small churches, small congregations of people who just want to help each other. People who just want to grow food, raise children, have a happy family, have a happy life, help people get healthy, and help save human civilization from all the Satanists that are trying to destroy it. So you're going to see a lot of interesting things happen in the coming months and especially next year, as well as Christ works through those of us who are willing to believe in him and to follow his teachings and to practice faith. Christ will work through us. And I say that humbly. I don't know all the plans that Christ has for my organization or my teachings. And when I first said, like, couple months ago, I'm going to record 100 Bible sermons on food and nutrition and healing and God's molecules. Honestly, some people told me I was crazy. It's like, what are you doing that for? It's a waste of time. No, it hasn't been a waste of time. I did it because I was called to do it. I was called to walk in faith, do 100 sermons in 100 days. I didn't know exactly why. Now it's becoming more and more clear. Those of us who are willing to humbly follow Christ, well, there are amazing things that we can do together for humanity, but humility is key. We are never going to be mega church pastors, mega wealthy, luxurious, luxury cars and jets and boats and mansions. If you're interested in that, you're not following Christ anyway. you got the wrong track. This isn't about gathering wealth. It's about distributing resources to the people to help save humanity. The proper role of the church is to be a pillar of strength, sustainability, and redundancy for the local community, and to uplift people and bring more people to the teachings of Christ, which is why we have to be open to followers of Islam hearing our words, or followers of Buddhism, or followers of Hinduism hearing our words. Jesus spoke about this. His disciples spoke about this. You have to branch out. You can't just say you're going to run around the world and kill everybody who's not a Christian or not a Jew. That doesn't win you friends, it turns out. And you start bombing and murdering all the families of an entire nation in the Middle East, yeah, you're not going to be looked upon as a religious spiritual leader by those people who had their children buried in concrete rubble because you bombed their hospitals and you bombed their residential buildings and you bombed their universities and schools. Yeah, they're not going to look upon you as friendly or even godlike, obviously. So if you want to succeed in the teachings of Christ, then go out into the world with a sense of basic human dignity, for starters. Stop murdering everybody with whom you disagree. Stop stealing their land. Stop bombing their children to death. But Israel will never understand this, because the Zionists rule Israel right now, and the Zionists are Satanists. They are Antichrist by definition. They do not recognize Christ. They do not recognize his teachings. And of course, they do not follow his teachings. They do the opposite. They're all about wrath and murder and destruction and suffering and death. And that's why Israel, by the way, had the highest vaccine compliance of any nation in the world, I believe. They were pushing the death jabs on their own people. So the Zionists that run Israel, they're not afraid to murder their own Jews, not to mention murdering non-Jews that happen to be near them as well. Think about that. What kind of morality does a nation have that murders its own people with a biological weapon and then bombs its neighbors to death, killing women and children, like by the tens of thousands? Is that godlike? Is that Christlike? No, of course not. And any Christian pastor in America or anywhere in the world, in the UK, in Australia, in Canada, any Christian pastor that endorses that behavior by Israel, you have turned against Christ. You have turned against God. You are wicked. You are evil. You are called out in the scripture itself. You are exactly the kind of person that God warned about, that Christ warned about. You've turned wicked and evil. Now, can you repent? Can you turn against your wicked ways and come back to Christ? Yes. Yes, Christ gives you that opportunity. He died for your sins. He died to wash away your slate of wickedness. You can come back to Christ. But in order to do that, you have to denounce the Zionism violence, genocide, ethnic cleansing, and mass murder of other people. That's the only way you can come back to Christ. If you want to save your soul, there's a pathway to do it. Thank God that his son, Jesus, gave you an opportunity to do that, but you still have to take the opportunity. So look, the choice, it's a spiritual choice for every person. You can be on the side of Satan and evil and death and destruction and suffering. That would make you pro Netanyahu. That would put you in the seat of supporting Israel's genocide. Or instead, you can choose salvation. You can choose peace. You can choose de-escalation. You can choose love and forgiveness and acceptance, coexistence, all these things that Christ taught. But a lot of Christian pastors in America today, apparently they've deleted the entire New Testament. They might as well just rip it out of their Bibles because they don't believe it anyway. Like everything from Christ forward, just they should probably just, frankly, given that they're such Satanists, I wouldn't be surprised if some of them set that section of the Bible on fire because they're walking with demonic entities. They would probably burn their Bibles. I mean, that's what they are. Demons pretending to be pastors. And Christ would call them out in an instant. And God will call them out one day if they don't turn against their wicked ways. So think about this, folks. As Michael Yon says, big boy rules apply now. Big boy rules. You're going to leave this earth one day. You're going to be judged for what you endorsed versus what you called out. And if you're not on the right side of God and humanity and peace and love, your soul will suffer for eternity. You will leave scars upon your soul that can never be healed. And yet there is an opportunity right now to correct that record, to denounce the violence by the Zionists in the Middle East, and to get on the side of Christ and God. You can do it now. It only takes an instant. You can ask for forgiveness. You can repent against your sins. You can call for peace. And there's no better time to do it than the present. So do you want to be saved? There's a pathway to do it. Or if you want to be cursed for eternity, just follow what the U.S. State Department tells you to do, or follow what Netanyahu tells you to do, and they'll gladly drag you to hell. If you follow those warmongering lunatics to hell, God has no mercy on you because you've chosen the path. Think about it. And thank you for listening today. I'm Mike Adams of Abundance.Church, and I normally teach about food, nutrition, superfoods, and essential oils of the Bible. Those are my normal topics. I'm not actually focused on geopolitics much at all, but I had to speak out against this genocide that's being done in the name of God, which is blasphemy. And so I'm on the record speaking out against it, and calling for people to come to Christ and to embrace peace and to embrace the Gentiles, people of all other religions and belief systems. We must treat them with dignity as they are all God's children. If you live your life seething with hatred toward those who practice Islam, then you are not walking in the path of Christ. You're walking in the footsteps of Satan. Christ said, embrace all human beings as God's children and teach Christ to everyone who's willing to listen. And those who aren't willing to listen, still treat them with respect and with understanding. And maybe one day they will come to Christ and they will learn Christ's teachings. That's the way you do it. You don't bomb them. You teach them. Thank you for listening today. God bless you all. I'm Mike Adams. Take care.